Welcome to Confessions of a Sales Pro. My very special guest this week is a woman by the name of Anna Glynn, speaker, author, and coach from Melbourne, Australia. Anna is absolutely a fabulous speaker, author, and coach with a deep understanding of sales and positive psychology. With decades of experience and success in the financial services sector, including leadership roles in national sales team, Anna has a proven track record of translating research into actionable strategies that create thriving sales cultures. Anna's first book, Strong, How the Best Sales Leaders Engage, Achieve, and Thrive, was published earlier this year, solidifying her reputation as a thought leader in the field. She works with a range of global organizations, supporting leaders and teams to amplify their impact and achieve long-term sustainable performance in very complex environments. Anna's mission is to create workplaces where people can be at their very best every day and are better off having worked there. Oh, I just love what your bio says, Anna. Anna, welcome to the podcast today.
Oh, so lovely to be here, Ian. And I think I need to have someone like yourself with that beautiful accent introducing me every time from here on in, because I think that was the best yet.
Well, let's go on a dual speaking tour. We'll have a lot of fun with that. You can intro me with your accent. I'll intro you with mine.
Excellent. That would be a pleasure.
I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot going on. Your books just popping off the shelves. Speak engagements all over the place. So before we can get started, on behalf of the listeners and myself, Anna, thank you for taking the time to share your wisdom and some of your enthusiasm with us today. Greatly appreciated.
This is one of my favorite things to do, is just sharing more about what I've learned. So thank you for having me here.
Isn't it a wonderful privilege to like give back to, you know, we both obviously had a bit of success with what we're doing, and the road ahead is still there for us to navigate. But to look back and go, here's what I've learned so far. Take it and run with it. Make it yours. Do what you can. So it's a wonderful privilege that you and I both share. You know, and I'm always fascinated by people's backstory, right? Like, what got them started? What was it all about? What was that moment, that turning point for them? What led you to start your own practice, Anna?
Good one. Well, I think, going back and reflecting on sort of where I started was, I, you know, began my career in the corporate sector, so primarily working in the financial services industry. And my first role, I landed in this world of sales, where I instantly fell in love with this space and thought, oh my goodness, it's a space that just seems to fit with me and my personality and the type of work I do. So I was really fortunate that I, you know, had a number of different roles in, frontline sales positions. And then later down the track, I was actually given the opportunity to lead my team. So I became the manager of my team. And really, despite, you know, the incredible training programs I'd been on and having some, you know, great mentors and coaches around me, and perhaps having success myself, when I was responsible for leading my team to success, I didn't know actually what it was I was meant to do. I really wanted like a playbook or a guidebook to say, okay, today this is the actions, the specific things that you need to do to help your team be motivated, engaged, be well, and also ultimately, you know, drive performance and achieve our KPIs. So that's what led me to do some further studies. I looked at the coaching area, and then I found this field called positive psychology. And a lot of this research has actually come out of the University of Pennsylvania. And what this area looks at is what leads to thriving individuals, thriving teams, leaders, workplaces, communities, and societies. So it was really studying the answers, or trying to find the answers to the questions that I had around how do I get my team to be its best. So fortunate for me, the University of Melbourne, just down the road, offers degrees in this space. So I went and did some study, and then I applied what I was learning with my team and saw some incredible results. I then made the decision to go and study a master's in the space because I wanted to learn as much as I could because it really is what works. And at that point, I made the decision that I needed to launch my own practice where I could share these messages with others because it is what they want to hear and they need to hear to help create, you know, more thriving organizations.
That's wonderful. I love how you did two things. You did a profession and something that intrigued you, and you leaned deeply into it and merged the two together, which tells me no wonder you're successful, Anna. You've merged two very important things, a profession and a passion. And when you put those two things together, oh my gosh, great things actually happen. And I just love your energy around it, your enthusiasm. So like approach to performance, it's a big thing. And everyone's kind of got a different take on it. My decades in the field, I've got a take. Well, everyone's got a different take, and it's great to share the different takes. So your focus is supporting salespeople to perform better. Now, Anna, what is your approach all about? What is it that you really bring to the table to the salesperson? Our listeners are fascinated. I can tell you that already.
Well, of course, because we're in sales. And so the question is always, how do we do better, right? And so exactly as you said, Ian, I mean, people have been researching this space, trying to understand what leads to greater performance for decades and decades. So that was, you know, what I was trying to understand was, well, what did they work out? What did they find out? What I noticed was that a lot of the focus when it comes to training and even the way that our leaders lead us is that it can often focus on the sales skills. So those specifics like how to influence, negotiate, close, how to build, pipelines, how to identify prospects, you know, a lot of those really technical skills that we need in sales. Now, there is absolutely a place for those, and we all need to understand how to do each of those things. But what I noticed, and certainly what I observed with my own team and then in the studies, was that what is probably just as important is what's the mindset and actually the tool set that salespeople need to not only survive but thrive in this world. So that's where, you know, I was uncovering was things like salespeople need to be optimists to do really well in their roles. So how do we actually build this optimistic mindset? So yes, we believe that the future is going to be better, but how do we actually make it so? Now that's fundamental in sales, given the amount of knockbacks and setbacks that we face. We need to, you know, constantly be thinking, well, the future will be brighter, but what's perhaps different about optimists is that they're very action orientated and they want to make sure that they're doing everything possible to make, you know, the successful outcomes in the future. So, you know, research now over the last couple of decades have actually said optimists will outperform a pessimist by up to 20 to 40% on average across a whole range of industries. Now, that's something that really makes sense when I explain it to people, when we talk it through, we go, yeah, of course, that makes complete sense. But to this day, not a lot of people are teaching sales professionals how to be optimistic, or we're not recruiting for optimists necessarily. So that was kind of the first component. The second was all around this tool set. And this is what I like to call things like your resilience. Because again, as I've already spoken about, you know, the number of knockbacks and setbacks that we face and the challenges that we have in our roles as salespeople, we need to be really resilient. Now, that's not just about bouncing back. That's actually about how do we see those challenges and turn them into opportunities for ourselves. So perhaps to learn something. So every time we get a rejection, is that an opportunity to learn and to try and do something better going forward? In addition to that, you know, there's things like we need to have a really strong network around us. We need to have really high quality relationships with the people that we're dealing with. Now, again, often the focus is on our clients, but what we know is that we need to have really good relationships with our team and other stakeholders because they're actually what helps us energize and motivate us, and they can actually decrease stress. So they're really important when it comes to kind of business performance. So there's some of the things in the tool set. It also talks to things like our internal resources. So things like playing to our own strengths and managing our weaknesses. So how do we bring our best out so we're performing at our best?
I love how you framed that, Anna. Certainly, and I've always believed there's like the bass and treble of sales. There's behavior and there's attitude, right? And mindset is the new word for attitude. But and skills, yes, we've got to learn how to be good at influencing, negotiating, building our pipelines, keeping our pipelines. That's all really behavioral in nature. But the mindset, the tool set, the attitude, that resilience you talked about is really equally important. And we can never let that go. We can't ever think, oh, our process will drive success. Well, it won't. It'll help pave the road, but you still need to know how to drive that car. And you know, your network plays into it as well. I always think of the three words that top salespeople have. They're confident, they're persistent, and they're organized. Right. And that persistence comes from mindset because you can't teach persistence. That's something that's fire in the belly. That's what we wake up with every day. And part of it comes from motivation, right? Like part of it is, how do you motivate? So let me think about this with you for a moment. Today's environment, particularly challenging, especially with the lives we're in today, the economies, the you know, the whole economic outline. How do we best motivate salespeople in 2024?
Well, this is a question I get asked a lot, Ian. And I think gone are those days where we can kind of dangle the big bonuses and the big commissions, because it's really not a massive driver for a lot of people. Now, there definitely will be people that are driven by money, and certainly money is a means to an end. So it still plays a really important role for a lot of people. These days, I believe that people have different motivators. And if we start to look at some of these, particularly across generations, it can sort of trump that idea that salespeople are just motivated by commissions. So first and foremost, I believe that people want to be able to be competent and become masters in their roles. So how do they actually build themselves to a space where they feel like, yes, I'm able to, you know, still be challenged, but I've got that confidence to be able to overcome my challenge. And I'm really setting myself up to grow and develop. So I've got kind of that long-term career path ahead of me. So I think a lot of people are looking for employers that can actually meet that need. The second thing in this particular environment, now this is of course something that is still on everyone's minds, is around this autonomy piece. So how do we give our people autonomy to do their roles within the realms of what's expected of the organization? Now, the reason why this is coming up so much, you know, speaks to this whole hybrid working from home policy piece that so many organizations are still trying to figure out. So autonomy in this, from this perspective, it doesn't just mean work from home. It's actually about giving people the flex in the way they do their work and maybe who they do their work with and how. So it might be, you know, flexible start and end times or different break times. Again, when we come back to a sales role, there are a lot of people that are out on the road. So they are pretty autonomous to some degree. It's like, well, here's your KPI, go and meet it and sort of go about it however you want to. But then there's other people in sales that might be in a retail environment and, you know, they're very confined to being on a floor, you know, potentially selling products. So they don't have as much autonomy. So we need to be a little bit more creative about how do we offer that to them as well. The next key motivator for a lot of people is doing good work, but doing it with great people. So I think a lot of people these days, you know, more of the focus is actually on how do I belong to an organization where I feel supported and I feel connected. That's really what can get people out of bed every day, is actually coming to work with really good people. So I think that's a big driver for a lot, is that actually they just want to be part of a really great team. And the big one, the last one, is all about purpose. So particularly since, I guess, the heightened pandemic days, a lot of people want to work for organizations where they can find a sense of purpose. You know, when we can align our own purpose with our organization's purpose, that's where we can find meaning in our roles. And that's really important for people, because that is absolutely the reason why people get out of bed. So I think for salespeople in particular, you know, they need to understand, well, how does their service or their product actually impact their clients? You know, how can they find that alignment so they get that sense of meaning and purpose, you know, in their roles? Because that's really what is going to help them get through those particularly challenging times. That's going to be a big motivator. So put aside big commissions, checks, whatever else that might be, dangling the carrot. I think if we focus on those four needs and those four motivators, we're going to have a much better team who's actually going to perform better at the end as well.
I like what you talked about with the four, like having a long-term view, autonomy and flexibility, and that can mean different things for different people depending on the environment and the geography. The sense of team, people, belonging, I think that's huge. It truly is. And finding purpose in what it is you do, almost like a higher meaning, something that this is what you should be doing. Those are four. Like, and all the research I've done through the years, and I agree with many of this, I find the number one thing that motivates salespeople is a sense of valued, trusted relationship with their customers. That there's integrity there. There's honor to what it is their craft is. They're not selling something. They're helping someone, right? Mm-hmm. And so number two is recognition. You know, winning that award, and that means more than money. Once you get by, yeah, you know you can make money. Once you sort of got that, yeah, tick. Other things become increasingly more important depending on the success and maybe the tenure of the sales professional. Money, yeah, it's probably on the list, but you, as you pointed out, so is culture, team, collaboration, like being part of something that's changing the world. Mm. Nothing charges anyone more like than that. Mm. And of course, growth. Some people want growth. They want a career. Whether it's growth within their job, their role, or stepping up through, we all remember being promoted to sales manager. That was a special time. Some of us wish we hadn't asked for that because we got it, right? But some kind of professional development. So that kind of takes me to something else about leadership, because it seems many sales people in sales think, well, okay, this is the ladder. I did this, I did that. Now I should be the boss. I should get the corner office, right? Like, so what's important is in the sales leader's role in their team success, Anne? I'd love your fresh perspective on this.
Well, it's huge. Like, the leader really has so much impact on their team. What was really interesting is when I conducted a lot of interviews with people, leaders and individual contributors, trying to understand, well, who kind of, you know, who do you look up to? Like, who are you learning from? Like, who are your sales idols? I think was even one of the questions that I used to ask people. And interestingly, or maybe not a surprise to many, is that they don't talk about, you know, the big sales people, you know, a lot of people that have written the sales books that I've got on a bookshelf behind me. They spoke about their leaders. They said, oh, I had this manager and I learned so much from him. Or, you know, I had this incredible leader and she was really, you know, excellent at showing me the way and let me, you know, do role shadowing with her. So more so than any sort of, you know, big sales leadership, you know, or thought leader, it really was their direct manager that had the biggest impact. So that was something, you know, certainly I knew from a lot of the studies, but then you can actually hear it backed up from people by just asking those questions around, like, yeah, who is their idol? Leaders absolutely are fundamental to their team's success. The way that a leader shows up can have a massive impact on the emotional state of the person. We can talk a bit more about that, but certainly, you know, we know that happier salespeople get better results. So if we think about the leader's emotional impact, like, they need to be very conscious of the way that they're showing up and the impact that has on their team. More so, they're also up to, I think it's about 70% responsible for their team's engagement. And engagement obviously leads to things like well-being, resilience, and performance. So again, we need to be thinking about, how is our leader ensuring that I'm actually engaged in my role? So that is, you know, about the leader identifying the strengths of the individual and making sure that they have opportunities to actually play to those strengths so they can experience those states of, like, flow. That's when we're at our most engaged. So a leader should be actually trying to set teams up so they are playing to their strengths and they're managing their weaknesses. A leader, you know, also is often the person that does show us and guide us. So hopefully in a good way around how we might be able to master our roles as well. So we can learn from them. We want them to also tell us about their vulnerabilities, like where have they made mistakes? Because again, that's where there's been, you know, those significant learnings that we can all take something from as well. So, you know, the reason why there's so much, you know, focus on the leader is really they have that touch point across their whole team and can drive so many of the behaviors that we wish to see in others. And that's ultimately their role within the organization, is be the person that we want to see across all our teams in terms of the types of actions and the behaviors that people adopt.
So well said. And the direct manager, I agree. I've seen many, like, of the authors behind you, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, like some of these bigger than life, you know, sales leaders, and read their books, seen them speak. But if you'd asked me who's had the biggest impact on my sales success through my life, I can think of two or three people who I used to report to, like a sales manager back in my Apple days, right? And the things he taught me and mentored me with and was patient enough with me. And for sure, emotional impact, you talked about being that positive example. And that part, that's, I don't know, it's half. It's a big chunk of leadership is to do what you expect others to do. Don't sit behind and criticize behind your spreadsheet and tell people what they, and when you're not willing to do it yourself, get out there, do some four-legged sales calls. Let's do this as a team. And how do you build that? Like, I love what you said about vulnerability. If they're open and honest with you, they invite you to be open and honest with them. And that manufactures a beautiful word called trust. And once you trust someone, you can really help someone. You can help actually each other. Anna, you're dropping nuggets all over the ground here. This is fantastic. So I know you're busy. Like, top tips. What's your top tip for salespeople to hit it out of the park, to do their very best, to win the game down the stretch? What's your top tip today?
Well, I think it does come back to just thinking a little bit more broader than the skill set. So what actually do you need from a mindset and a tool set perspective to be able to thrive? So let's, you know, just, you know, think about, you know, what is it that we need at this time? Because so often it's not the technical, it's going to actually be something else that's going to actually set us up for success. I think first and foremost, what I've observed is definitely when we have a more thriving individual, certainly in a sales role, they're going to do better. So that's where we, you know, see things like happiness within sales teams actually has a positive impact then on the results that they achieve as well. Now, this isn't just about like chasing the rainbows and the butterflies and let's all be happy, but it's actually about thinking about, you know, what puts us in a more positive state? I talk to a lot of sales teams about really simple stuff, like how do you start your day? Are you sort of that person that rolls over in bed and reaches for their phone and either reads the news, which I don't know about you guys on that side of the world, our news over here isn't very enlightening right now. It's particularly heartbreaking. Or are you checking emails, which again, are never very, you know, a great way to start the day. Same thing as when you're actually driving to go and meet your client or about to, you know, enter into the workplace or an organization, you know, what's the state that you're presenting yourself in? So have you actually put yourself in a more positive state as opposed to a more negative one? Because when we're in that more positive state, what we know is that our minds are actually broadened. So we have greater peripheral vision. We actually become more innovative. We're more able to problem solve, so help our clients with their problems. And as a result of that, we actually have better relationships because we're more energetic, we're more cheerier and joyful to be around. And that's why at the end of the day, we tend to be more resilient and we tend to achieve better outcomes, all because of the way that we're actually showing up. So my top tip is, be really intentional about the state that you're in. Can you ensure that you're trying to reduce the negativity that's around you and that you're actually exposing yourself to more of the positive states? That, I think, is going to actually help you achieve much better results, obviously professionally, but I think it's going to have an impact personally too.
Absolutely, because real salespeople never turn it off. We are who we are naturally, whether we're in front of a customer or a prospect or our family or our loved ones. It's not a channel we get to flick. I love how you pointed out about happiness and positivity. When I'm around someone negative, Anna, I can only take it in small bouts. I moonwalk right out of there because it's like, whoa, it's infectious. I feel it. It's like dandruff falling on me, right? I gotta leave. And so being intentional about that state is what you really underscored. You're right. If people like you, they trust you, they will buy from you. Mm. And it begins with liking you, and you've got to be likable, right? And that's really, that's a great tip to give Anna, before we let you go, and thank you again on behalf of the listeners and myself personally, you scratched a lot of our heads today. You've made a lot of our listeners go, I want to get her book. How do I learn more about Anna? How do I get her course? How do I get online with her? Okay, so Anna, what's the best way for our listeners to reach out to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way would be through my website, which is annaglynn.com.au. I'm also across the various social media channels, particularly LinkedIn, where I'm regularly sharing sort of tips and tricks that I'm learning along the way. So you can certainly find me there under Anna Glynn, and then on sort of Instagram and Facebook as well under the same name.
That's wonderful. Anna, thank you so much today for spending your time, wisdom, and insight with our listeners today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I love swapping stories, Ian.
It's been fun. And thank you all for listening to Confessions of a Sales Pro.
If you have found this episode informative and helpful, we would be honored and appreciative if you would share this podcast with other great salespeople like yourself. And we look forward to you joining us for all new episodes weekly, every Thursday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you'd like us to help you grow your sales commissions, visit us at salesmentoryou.com. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Less sins, more wins. With Ian Selby.